Hello, everyone, and welcome to another America's Conservative Podcast. I am your host, Ed Dentzel. It is what? It's Thursday, which means it's trivia night, which means it's a new season starting, and the special category tonight is, what is it? Oh, it's baseball teams and the cities they play in. So, we should do all right on that category. I think so. I know a little bit about baseball and sports and everything, so I'm looking forward to the next season starting. Last night I was up at, it used to be called Bright House Field, now it's called Spectrum Field. A friend of mine, Trevor, runs a disc golf event there. It started again every Wednesday night, in which he sets up baskets in the stadium and outside of the stadium to throw to. It's a pretty cool thing. A lot of people show up. And that field is open in the evenings when there's not even any baseball games because they have a bar there. People go and they play what's that game called? Cornhole, which is like the worst name for a game ever. They play cornhole and that and everything. Well, he set up this, he got together with the people who run the stadium. And now he's been running this event, I'm going to say, for about 3 years. Now, at various times when, of course, the AA baseball team, it's the Phillies affiliate that plays there, isn't in town, that he sets it up. And he has about 12 different holes, and it's pretty good. So I was there last night, so that was fun. Beautiful night. Little windy, but beautiful. Played decently well. Not crazy well, but okay. So some things going on. I'm getting out, even though I'm a little bit of an introvert and a homebody. I'm going to be getting out a couple nights in a row, which is very odd for me. But where I want to start this particular show, and I guess this would be getting into the politics of the show. There is this governor of Alabama who had to resign. I've been meaning to talk about this for a couple days, but I'm glad I haven't because now there's more information that has come out. He was cheating on his wife, and he was doing this, and he was also using campaign funds. I don't know the intricacies of all of this put together, but Her name, I think, was Rebecca Mason, and she was actually living on his property. He had, I guess, the governor's mansion or wherever the governor lives in Alabama, and then there was another house on the property. It's called a pool house, quote-unquote pool house, where Rebecca Mason was living, and these two at some point started having an affair, and maybe he was diverting funds to her to give her nice things. I don't know. But he had to resign a few days ago, and the lieutenant governor now is in his place. I think the lieutenant governor is a woman is taking his place. And this isn't the first Alabama governor who has gotten fired, who has had to resign from office, and that's a whole story within itself. But, you know, and the guy isn't a young guy, certainly not my age. I mean, Robert Bentley, is he 70 or something? Looks like an older guy. Maybe he's just in his 60s. Maybe he hasn't aged well. I don't know. But, you know, what are 60-some-year-old guys doing cheating on their wives? I mean, really? Really? And I haven't seen a picture of this Rebecca Mason woman. For his sake, I hope she's attractive. I hate to be shallow like that and catty and a male chauvinist and everything, but I hope so. It's like going back to the Bill Clinton years. I'm going to say that Monica Lewinsky, really? Was Hillary really that bad as his wife that he had to have an affair with Monica Lewinsky? Really? Just me, maybe. Maybe me just being shallow and inappropriate and everything else. The cheating should not be going on. But the way the guy got caught was through his wife, who it seems had known he was cheating on her for a while. She just didn't say anything. So what did she start to do? She started to put all of the evidence together. And I'm sure she's today in Alabama somewhere, not feeling bad at all about what she did and how she helped bring down her husband, who was the governor of Alabama. She was saving receipts. She had gotten on their computer and found screenshots. And with the Robert Bentley obviously didn't know that his iPhone was synced up with an iPad that they use. So a lot of the texts or emails that he was getting from this woman, sexually suggestive stuff, was ending up on the iPad, and his wife was getting to see it. It also doesn't help that Robert Bentley, I guess at least once, sent a text to his wife that was supposed to go to his mistress, saying something like, "I love you, Rebecca," or something like that. So he made errors on his own, but well before this, his wife figured out what was going on and started building her case, building up a war chest of information for that day when she fully intended to divorce him and take him for everything he's worth, and also make it that he had to resign as governor of Alabama. Now, this should be, I'm a single guy. I don't even have a girlfriend. And so I don't have to worry about things like this. And I can't even begin to tell you how much that makes my life easier. Can't even begin to explain it. But what I think all of you men, and I'm just going to speak for the men out there, but I know women cheat too. But I don't think that guys, frankly, I don't believe guys are as intuitive as women are when it comes to things like this. I don't know how many men have figured out that their wives are cheating on them just by what she says or something like that. I think for many men, I think they're in denial until the very point that they come home and find their wife in bed with another guy. Or maybe she's cheating with another woman. Who knows? I think that's my impression. Whereas I think with women, they're much more intuitive. They can notice little, they're much more aware of people's feelings, and because of that, we as guys, we can make sure our actions look right, but our feelings and our body language and everything, we're not as aware of that, and I think women can be aware of that in us, can look at us and probably tell why we're lying and whether we're cheating or not. I really do believe that. I think women are much more in tune with things like that, and they should be commended for that. So that was probably what was going on, but this guy, Robert Bentley, probably thought that he was getting away with this, and this was just going to continue forever, and then all of this came out. And this should be a lesson to all of you guys, is if you think that you are getting away with cheating on your wife or girlfriend, you're not. You're not. Right, you think you are. You think that you are the smartest person in the world. Making a lie here, telling your wife, girlfriend, you have to stay after work for this, and that you're going out with the guys this weekend, everything. Most of the women who you are cheating on right now, they know. They know. They're just waiting for the right time to let you know that they know. And you should be very worried about that point. And I'm not saying any of them are going to hire somebody to kill you. No, it's no. You aren't going to get it off that easy. You're going to come home one day and somebody's going to pull a bullet through your head. That would be too easy. They're going to do to you exactly what Diane Bentley, the governor's wife, is doing to him. Now, you may not be the governor of a state. You may not be making as much money as Robert Bentley and all the prestige and power that he has, but you will suffer as much as he's going to suffer. I would suggest you stop it now. Either that or just divorce your wife and own up to the other relationship and get the heck out. That's my attitude toward all of this. So you guys that are listening to this podcast right now or listening to this at redstatetalkradio.com, you're cruising down the road or you're at work, wherever you are, if you're cheating on your wife or girlfriend, she knows. And you should behave accordingly. All right? And I just to school yourself on what your future is going to be, just look up Robert Bentley, do a little Google search, and see what his wife – I got this article. I didn't write it down, unfortunately, about all this information that she collected. But you might want to Google his name and see what he's going through right now, because he deserves every bit of it. And he's a Republican, and good that he's getting kicked out. And all scoundrels like this should be gone, my opinion. So – on that bright note, let's move on to something else. Steve Bannon might be on his way out. In recent weeks, if you follow politics, primarily the Trump administration, you know that there's been some discord in the administration between, in particular, Jared Kushner and Steve Bannon, to the point where it sounds like last weekend they had a little powwow, the two of them, maybe Trump was there as well, to work out their differences. This is not going to go well for Steve Bannon. For many different reasons. And there's just not one. There's a few, and I'm going to go through them. First of all, as I've been trying to tell all of you, the reason it's not going to go for Steve Bannon is because Donald Trump and Steve Bannon don't think alike. And I'm no fan of Steve Bannon. I think he's a kook. I think he's an absolute kook. And I think that the day that he took over Breitbart.com is at the point at which that website started going downhill and started going away from the ideas that Andrew Breitbart had for it and all the other things that he was doing. I believe that. All right. But even more so, Steve Bannon, whatever his political ideas, they are not the same as Donald Trump, as much as everybody wanted to say that they were. And this goes back to the campaign of all of you alt-right people. Way on the I don't even know if you're technically on the right, really. You're kooks, you're racists, you're anti-Semites, you're white nationalists, and all of you. You saw hope in Steve Bannon, and frankly, I believe he's a lot like you. But that you believe that Donald Trump was like that. See, I could say a lot of things about Donald Trump that are bad, and I think they're all true. I do not believe that Donald Trump is a racist, or anything like that. And I never particularly believed that I think he does believe in making America great again. But he's not a conservative, so it's not going to get great again the way that he wants to do it, because it's just not possible. That all of you saw somebody of your kind in Donald Trump is your fault. Not my fault. Not Donald Trump's fault, not any other pundit's fault, that you thought that he agreed with you, and that, you know, my biggest complaint about Donald Trump regarding all of this was that he never denounced any of you. I know that Donald Trump doesn't think like you. He may not think like me, but he certainly doesn't think like you either, and I don't think like you. But that he would not denounce you, you took that as to mean that he agrees with you. That's your fault. Just because somebody doesn't denounce you doesn't mean they're for you either. I thought he should do it because I think that reflects badly upon the Republican Party. And I still believe that. And I will continue to believe that. Until the leader of the Republican Party, and the leader of the Republican Party is always either the president, if it's a Republican, or if it's a Democrat in office, some other prominent Republican, not somebody in the media, but somebody who has been elected. I guess you could say it at one time, it might have been Paul Ryan, or maybe in a presidential year, it might have been Mitt Romney in 2012. Until somebody of prominence in the Republican Party comes out and denounces all of you, I'm going to be upset about it. All right, because I don't believe the party has any room for people like you. And I'm not even part of the Republican Party anymore. You know that I changed my affiliation last year. I've told you about that. I'm unaffiliated here in Florida. So that Steve Bannon might be on his way out shouldn't be a surprise to any of you. And I know you're all upset about Syria, and I thought we're going to be isolationists and everything. It's your fault that you believe that. I didn't vote for the guy because I don't believe he's conservative, so I knew he was capable of anything. I'm through voting for people like that anymore. I'm done. Obviously, you weren't. That is one of the reasons that Steve Bannon may be gone. All right? So you can't be upset about it. This was all predictable. Now, he may stay on, but I think they're getting the idea that he is not going to be as influential with Donald Trump as all of you thought he was. And I continue to say Steve Bannon is not a very good guy. Number two, and maybe this has been, maybe we didn't, you know, I'll admit it, I didn't completely appreciate how much of a factor Jared Kushner, who is Donald Trump's son-in-law, the effect that he was going to have on the administration. I don't know if anybody predicted that. Because now we see stories all over the place, both at conservative sites, middle-of-the-road sites, and leftist sites, on how much Jared Kushner is working everything behind the scenes, even both foreign policy and domestic policy. In a choice for all of you, once again, who loved Steve Bannon and thought he was a good addition to the campaign and the administration, Donald Trump is always going to pick his son-in-law over somebody from the outside. That's the way it's always going to be. And Donald Trump is not unique in that. He's not unique in that. Generally, in situations like this, son-in-laws, especially when they've been asked to come into the administration or in a private business, even outside of politics, the guy who is married to the boss's daughter is going to get away with a lot more than your average employee. That just is the way it is. He's going to get to leave early on Fridays. He's going to get to leave. He's going to get to come in late on Mondays. He's going to get to go golfing on Wednesday afternoons. That's just the way it is. If you don't like it, you should just go somewhere else. You should go to another job. And so Steve Bannon has gotten on the wrong side of Jared Kushner, who once again is Donald Trump's son-in-law. And that can only end badly for Steve Bannon. Because, I mean, do you really think that Donald Trump is going to call Jared Kushner into his office and say, Jared, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm siding with Steve Bannon over this. You're going to have to go. And Donald Trump is really going to wants to feel the wrath of his daughter, Ivanka. Do you really think that's going to happen? All right? So there's that. Now, maybe that wasn't as predictable, not knowing about Jared Kushner. But once that started to be a prominent piece of information, prominent news, I'd say within the last month, you had to feel that Steve Bannon was gently going to be pushed out. Thirdly, maybe this is related to part number one, Jared Kushner politically is way more closer to Donald Trump than Steve Bannon is. Just made the point that Steve Bannon and Donald Trump aren't, I think, in the core that you alt-right people wanted them to be alike. They aren't. But just overall politically, keeping nationalism and anti-Semitism out of it, Donald Trump is much more like Jared Kushner than Donald Trump is like Steve Bannon. Remember, Jared Kushner is a Democrat. Ivanka, Donald Trump's daughter, is a Democrat, to the point where they couldn't even vote for Donald in the New York primary. But they are now two of Donald Trump's closest confidants. And in fact, it appears to me that Ivanka and, that is how you say her name, right? Ivanka. And Jared are probably more influential with Donald Trump than George W. Bush was while his dad was president from 89 to 92. And George W. Bush, of course, was the son And they are, of course, known as being very, very close. To this day, they're very close. I think that Ivanka and Jared have much more influence on Donald Trump than George W. Bush ever did when his dad was in office. So there's all of that. All of that put together, it's easy to understand how this can all happen. Granted, for me, I don't like any of it. I don't like Donald Trump. I don't like Jared Kushner. I don't like Steve Bannon. There's no one for me to root for in any of this. And the only reason I would root for Ivanka Trump in all of this is because she's hot, not because I agree with anything that she does politically or otherwise. She may be a perfectly fine woman, but I just can't get with that. So this was all maybe a little bit predictable. Now there's something else, and this has just come out. I think this was in the New York Post. Donald Trump did an interview. I think it was with somebody who writes for the New York Post, or it was just an interview and then it got published there. That Donald Trump is already starting to distance himself from Steve Bannon and saying, we have to remember Steve came into the campaign very late and he didn't have much of a factor. I was the one I'm the strategic planner. I'm the one who devised the strategy for this campaign. As far as Steve Bannon coming in late, I guess it all depends on what your idea of late is. I sound like Bill Clinton, your definition of is. But with Steve Bannon, did he come in late? Did he come in early? Did he come more somewhere in the middle? It all depends, I guess, on your point of view. So maybe I can understand Donald Trump on that, if he wants to make that statement. Either way, no matter how you read it, it's obvious that Donald Trump is trying to say, Steve Bannon is not much of a factor. I don't need him. We don't need him. I'm glad he was part of the campaign, but he played much less of a role in this campaign than everybody believes, that I'm my own man and I make the decisions and everything else. Not looking good for Steve Bannon, no matter what happened last weekend. And I think that what you're seeing here is one more reason why I told all of you not to get excited about all of those cabinet positions, all these people that Donald Trump was putting here and there and everywhere. He's going to do what he wants. His closest advisors are his son-in-law and his daughter, and they're not conservative. They're not even Republicans. And you think the cabinet members are going to do anything? My personal opinion, from what I know, sitting here, I now do the show sitting, by the way, now. I figured out a way to maneuver the microphone, and I used to always stand. I'm getting older. I need to sit down. But as I sit here in Madeira Beach, Florida, it seemed to me that Steve Bannon and Donald Trump were pretty close at one time, whether Steve Bannon came in late, earlier, or whatever. It seems that at one point, Steve Bannon was pulling quite a few strings along with Kellyanne Conway. And surely, Steve Bannon and Donald Trump are closer, at least were closer at one time, than Donald Trump was to any of the people that he picked to be in his cabinet. I don't even think that is a question. So all of you who thought that Steve Bannon was going to play a role, a big role, and now he's not playing such a big role, how then can you continue to believe that all of these cabinet members are going to have any roles in it? It could it be that they're just figureheads, which is something that I said way back when? Could it be? And I'm still waiting for Neil Gorsuch is part of the Supreme Court now, totally out of the executive branch. I personally, it's going to be a great day on this show when Neil Gorsuch makes a decision that Donald Trump doesn't like. That is going to be a fantastic show. Fantastic. Fantastic. I that mark that down on your – write it down right now. I don't know what day it's going to be. It's going to be before the end of the year for sure. But that's going to be fantastic. And so getting back to this cabinet members and Steve Bannon and Jared Kushner and what's going on there. I think that you just misread Donald Trump. You've put too much hopes in him for all of this. And what do you get? You now get a Democrat pulling his strings. Why? Because Donald Trump's a Democrat. And that Democrat is pulling his strings is his son-in-law. Now, I do have a message for Jared Kushner. Not that he would ever listen to this show. He has to remember something. The only reason that he is in the Trump family is because of marriage. He is not blood. He is not Donald Trump's son. Ivanka is his wife, and Ivanka is Donald Trump's daughter. And this is no different than The Godfather. And I'm going to give away the ending of it. Carlo Rizzi, who was married to Michael's sister. Carlo Rizzi was the guy who set up Sonny to get shot on the causeway. And Michael Corleone knew that kind of just after it happened. So towards the end, when the Corleone family and their henchmen kill all the other members of the five families, the leaders of the five families, and in various ways, posing as a cop, getting that guy stuck in that rotating door, whatever they call that, shooting those guys in the elevator, just all so the Corleone family can consolidate the consolidate power in New York City in the late 1940s, you know, into the 50s. What year was that supposed to have taken place? 49, 50, 51, somewhere like that. Then what happens? Even though, and Carlo Rizzi was the worst one, he set up one of the Corleone family to be assassinated. Michael Corleone waited till the end of the movie to come after Carlo. After everything else had been done, and he sits Carlo down and says, you know, just tell me the truth. You know, tell me the truth. You did it. You know, you set Sonny up. You didn't really think you were going to fool a Corleone, do you? And meanwhile, if everybody went to see that movie in 1972, they're thinking, surely Michael wouldn't kill the husband of his sister. Surely, yeah, Carlo Rizzi did something and it was wrong and everything else. Surely, I mean, I can understand him killing all those other people because, you know, they're enemies and they're competitors and you know, in the illegal trade and organized crime. But surely he would not have his sister's husband killed. You know, the father of his, what was his nephew or whoever was born at that time. He did it. And why? Because Carlo Rizzi wasn't blood. Now, granted, Godfather 2, Michael also gets rid of his brother Fredo, but he does that because Fredo cheats on the family to the point where Michael Corleone almost gets assassinated, shot, and killed because of it. So I would hope Jared Kushner watches The Godfather a couple times in the next couple weeks. That just because he's part of the family, he married into the family. And when Donald Trump decides that it's not convenient for Jared Kushner to be around, he'll be gone too. I don't think Donald Trump will ever get rid of his daughter. I mean, she may not have an office in the White House for all 4 years or 8 years. But Donald Trump obviously has a lot of influence in that family. His daughter has influence on him. But without Donald Trump, none of those people are anybody. Ivanka and Jared and anybody else is a nobody in that family. The Jared Kushner should remember that. And if Donald Trump continues to follow what Jared Kushner says, wants him to do, and Donald Trump administration, his approval ratings continue to go down, 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 I hope Jared Kushner doesn't think that them sharing similar political views or him being the son-in-law of Donald Trump is going to save him. I personally don't believe that. I think that even Donald Trump has a breaking point when it comes to something like that. Not to say that he'd ever replace Jared Kushner with somebody else, but I think at some point Donald Trump would have to let go of his son-in-law, even if his daughter is ticked off about it. But it's going to take some doing. But surely Steve Bannon is going to be gone long before that. But I got to go to the break. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital. Red State Talk Radio.
And we are back at America's Conservative Podcast. I have to admit that maybe this is revealing too much inside baseball regarding my life, but I really don't care. I had a situation in my life years and years ago that were very similar to, I think, the situation that Steve Bannon, Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, and Donald Trump are all going through. That it's not even a triangle. It's more like a rectangle, square, maybe a parallelogram or something. That I worked in the family business, but I was not the son of the owner. I was a nephew of the owner. And I ran into that in my own life, that you may be, even when you're part of the family, you're not technically part of the family. And if anything is going to go down with this sale of a business or anything, you're probably going to be left out of it because you're not just close enough. And that's exactly one of the reasons I got out of that, and I ended up moving to Las Vegas. It was one of the reasons. So I, in my own life, can relate to this very, very closely. That you start to find out when nip comes to tuck, you know, or any of those other cliches and words that can be used. When the going gets tough, decisions are going to have to be made, and the people who are least closest to the leader are going to get cut out first. That's how we do it. Now, it seems like in North Korea, it's like the opposite. If things start to go bad, Kim Jong-un kills the closest people to him. Now, he hasn't actually, you know, he hasn't killed like his mother or his sister, who seemingly has a lot of power in North Korea. But I think he killed an uncle and some other leaders that were very close to him. He starts with some of the very close people. I don't know. So seems like a little, of course, North Korea is totally upside down in most ways, so maybe that just makes sense. But Jared Kushner, remember, man, you're just Carlo Rizzi. You're not Sonny Corleone. You're not Freddie Corleone. You're not Talia Shires. I can't think of her name. Was it Maria or something like that? You're not her. You are the son-in-law. Remember that. Let's move on to something else. Brian Terry, you remember from 2010, he was a border agent who was murdered in a shootout with, we're now finding out who this guy was, because the reason I'm bringing this up is the man who shot him, and it was a variety of people that were with this guy, but it's believed he was the actual shooter, has been, has been caught in the last couple days. Joint task force, I guess, between the United States and Mexico. You got to wonder why this wasn't done earlier. It seems like it's been 7 years. Is this guy really that hard to catch, or did Barack Obama's administration not care about it? I don't know. I for the record, I don't know why it's just happening now. But the guy's name is Heraclio Osorio Arañez. A-R-E-L-L-A-N-E-S, and I know in Mexican or Spanish, L-L sounds like a Y. Arañez, something like that. He's been caught, and I have to give credit. There's a variety of websites that are talking about this story today, but I have to give credit to NBC that actually in the article, they admit that Fast and Furious, that Brian Terry was killed because of this Fast and Furious debacle that was started during during Barack Obama's administration under the leadership of Eric Holder, with all these guns that were supposed to be followed, 2,000 guns. And it says even in the NBC article that 1,400 of them were lost. And then one of them was used to kill Brian Terry in 2010. That's actually in an NBC News article. That's, you know, that's what we call progress in the business. And see, this is also one of the ways that I think conservatives, although I realize a lot of stuff in Fast and Furious was not talked about enough on NBC or other channels, I guess we would say, when it was all going down and when Eric Holder was up there testifying in front of Congress and everything else. But it is funny how eventually some of these facts do end up, and the true story does end up, on these places that at one time didn't want to have anything to, and didn't want to have anything to do with the story. So we just have to call this progress. I'm glad somebody on NBC finally was willing to admit that Brian Terry was shot with a Fast and Furious gun that was a debacle that the ATF did under Barack Obama's administration. Now, I guess the true, I mean, it's a tragedy, and it sucks. Sucks for his family. This Fast and Furious scheme has probably hurt more people, has gotten more people murdered than we will ever know. I don't think that when you have 1,400 guns that disappeared, probably got into the hands of drug cartels. I mean, there's no telling. The number could be easily into the tens of thousands. Easily. We're never going to know that. Now, what you find out, though, in this article is that this Heraclio Osorio Arellanes, was not a guy who was trying to sneak into the United States with a gun. Now, we know the Border Patrol, what is its very general job? To try to stop people from sneaking into the United States. It doesn't get any more simpler than that. That is their general job. And I know whether they haven't been doing their job, or they've been told to not do their job, or there haven't been enough people, or there's all sorts of reasons that we have an illegal immigration problem in the United States. But the simple job that if you were to go to apply for that position, it simply says to stop people from coming into the United States illegally. That's your job as a border agent. And there's some border agents that work at, the toll booths, like if you go into Canada, and then there are some that are out there, out in the desert in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, who are, patrolling that area. Some sit in booths, some ride around in Jeeps. It just depends. Well, Heraclio wasn't even a guy who was sneaking into the United States, you find out. You find out that he was part of a group that were ripping off people who were trying to sneak into the United States. So they would, sit around out there in that nebulous area between Arizona, Texas, and Mexico at night, and these people would try to sneak across. And these guys, before the border agents could get there, if they're even doing their job, would shake these people down for everything they had on. If they were sneaking into the United States with a few pesos, or with drugs, or with weapons, or whatever else, these guys would show up and shake these people down for everything that they're worth. So really, what ends up happening is that Brian Terry and the other guys that were there that night that got into this gunfight with Heraclio and others, their job description is they're supposed to stop illegal immigration, but really in the end what they were doing and what got Brian Terry killed was they were trying to defend these illegal immigrants who were trying to sneak into the United States. They were trying to get these ripoff crews from ripping off the illegal immigrants. That is the true tragedy, I think, of this. If Brian Terry was murdered, these illegals were trying to sneak into the United States and they had guns, and Brian Terry and others tried to stop them and they got into a fight and he dies, it's horrible. Shouldn't happen. But at least it's in the job description. I don't know if in Brian Terry's job description he ever thought that he would have to be defending illegal immigrants from other criminals. So, it's just horrible. It's just a bad situation. And maybe these are the types of situations that your average American who thinks about immigration doesn't realize. That we don't realize, we just think there's people sneaking in the United States. I guess nobody considers that there might be other people who are perfectly willing to stay in Mexico, but are going to rip off those people who are trying to sneak into the United States. And then American Border Patrol is going to get involved in the process, and in some weird way, it's kind of a flip. Instead of the border agents taking the illegal immigrants into custody, they're actually defending the illegals from these guys. I don't know if your average American, you know, thinks about it that far. And that's probably what makes these jobs a lot more difficult than anybody can imagine. But it was a sequence of events starting with Fast and Furious. Who knows? This ripoff crew, maybe they don't even have these guns if Fast and Furious doesn't happen. And the people who hatched this idea of Fast and Furious, did they name it after that, the movie series, which is now on what, number 7, number 8? The Fate of the Furious, I guess that's the movie that's coming out tomorrow. I saw a preview for it, looks crazy. Has to do with automated cars, you know, self-driving cars. That's part of the storyline, if you don't know. Fast and Furious should have never been hatched. If any of you have forgotten, Fast and Furious is actually a program that started in a different way under George W. Bush. And what was going on there is that they released these guns, but they actually tracked them. And I don't know if it was 2,000 guns. I don't know if it's 200 guns. I don't know. But in those years before Barack Obama became president, there was a similar program going on. But the guns were being tracked a lot better. Whereas when it got to Barack Obama's administration, the plan was tweaked, I guess, to the point where the guns weren't being tracked at all. And that is something that I'm still not sure anybody really knows why. I know that, you know, the real hardcore kook Barack Obama haters and Eric Holder haters will say, well, they wanted these cartels to get these guns. They wanted this to happen so as to create crime so they could, crank down further on gun ownership in the United States. That's what the far kooks people will say. Obviously, that didn't work. If that was their plan, it didn't work. Because gun ownership has only increased in the United States. And the laws, for the most part, in most states, continue to go in the gun owner's direction, despite what some states are trying to do. So I don't believe it was that. I just think that Barack Obama, Eric Holder, they're just incompetent. I think that what happened was that before Barack Obama became president, I think what was going on there is that they were actually trying to help the Mexican government in tracking down these cartels and trying to track down all these people committing all these murders. And they came up with a way to do that. I think what happened when Barack Obama came into office is that I just don't think he gave a dang. And so the program continued. They didn't care about illegal immigration. They didn't care about this. They didn't care about that. They were somewhat incompetent. And that's why this happened. I do not believe that the Obama administration actually wanted to send more guns into Mexico and have more guns in Mexico. I don't believe that. And if they really wanted to dirty the name of gun owners in the United States, why didn't they just, in some, of course, huge conspiracy, put those same guns on the streets of the United States in the wrong hands and then try to portray it on gun owners? Why didn't they do that if that was really, really what they wanted to do, to trash the name of gun owners? I don't know. Still not, totally one. I don't think anybody's 100% sure of what all happened there. It's obvious to me that the ATF was doing this. It seems that I know some ATF agents have come out and said that they weren't for it, but they kind of came out and did this after the fact. You know, where were those agents when it started in 2009, 2010, that the guns they knew weren't being tracked anymore? They kind of came out once the door had already been opened and the horses were gone. Where were they exactly the day it happened? You know where they were? They were afraid of losing their jobs, which seems to me pretty shallow. They were afraid that innocent people were going to get killed. Well, do you really think that that's less important than your job? So there's a lot of blame to go around that's just not at the foot of Barack Obama and Eric Holder. I think that there are a lot of people who engaged, went along with this just because they wanted to keep their government pensions. And then after the fact, they wanted to seem like whistleblowers, which they were, but they had something to do at the moment that this all had started happening and they did nothing, which was wrong. So, but Brian Terry, this guy's in custody. We'll see what happens. Maybe this will put Fast and Furious back on the map. If I should say this, if I could give a piece of advice to Donald Trump, if he wants to get, being that the AHCA thing didn't go over well and everything, you want to get back in conservatives' good graces, start looking into Fast and Furious again now that this guy's been caught, now that it's kind of in the news again. You want to do something? Do that. Let's move on to something else. China and the North Koreans. Did you see this quote from Donald Trump? And see, this is, oh man, this is my impression. He actually stated my exact impression of him. You know, he met last Friday, right when those missiles were flying into Syria. He met with the president, President Xi, or however you say his name, from China. And it's now coming out, he made a statement in an interview that he said in talking to the Chinese president, premier, dictator, whatever you want to call him, that within 10 minutes, Donald Trump said, I realized I had no understanding about the relationship between China and North Korea, and that China doesn't have as much control over North Korea as I thought. And, well, see, this is kind of the way I think about Donald Trump on most things. I think he's a know-it-all, and when he really doesn't know anything, and he's afraid to say it. That he would believe, the funny thing is that he would believe the Chinese leader. You have to keep in mind, I don't think he's doing this to necessarily kiss up. I actually think he's telling the truth. I think he listened to what the Chinese guy had to say and then believed it. And then he maybe believes that China is actually going to do something that hurts North Korea. Maybe. But I surely wouldn't take a conversation that he had, that Donald Trump had with this president on that alone. You know, in saying that, saying, you know, in 10 minutes, I realized I didn't know anything about this situation between China and North Korea. He's just showing his ignorance, and I think he's ignorant about most things. I have to say that I'm dubious regarding all of this. If Donald Trump thinks that somehow he can kiss up to China, if he's going to try to work his art of the deal on the Chinese, I just don't think that's going to work. The Chinese are master manipulators. They're master manipulators. And I think this is part of that. I think so. Granted, I think that people who love Donald Trump are going to say that regarding this statement that's come out, that this is Donald Trump just working, you know, working what he does, just doing what he does, kissing up to these leaders and being nice to them. And I'm not convinced of that. I'm just not. However, I will say this. If this is true, and that Donald Trump is going to start listening to the leader of China regarding certain issues, I guess that trade war thing isn't going to happen then either, is it? And how do you feel about that? You know, I had something written down here, and Donald Trump reminds me so much of Gene Simmons, you know, the bass guitarist from Kiss. And I think this also, don't get me wrong, I love Gene Simmons. I love him. I love Kiss. Gene Simmons, great businessman. Saw Kiss in concert. I like it that he has stayed away from drugs and alcohol his whole life, just like I have. He hasn't gotten caught up in all of that stuff. I deeply respect that. But Gene Simmons has a problem that when he starts talking about a topic, he talks about it in terms as if nobody ever has heard about the topic before, and like he's the authority. Like Chuck Berry died recently, Gene Simmons spoke. You know, Chuck Berry, he did a song. Maybe you've heard of it. He says all these things about Chuck Berry that everybody already knows because Chuck Berry is a very famous rock and roller. But Gene Simmons acts like these are like obscure facts. Like he's actually delivering information and he wants everybody to think how smart he is. You didn't know that Chuck Berry did Johnny Be Good, did you? Did you? You didn't know that he was in the rock and roll. Chuck Berry was in the Rock and Hall of Fame. You didn't know that he was black. Well, here, I'm going to tell you. That's the way Gene Simmons is. Every time you hear something, you know, about that, you know, anything that he talks about, politics or whatever, you'd think that these statements were never made before and that he was acting like the smartest guy in the world. And it's like, yeah, we know, Gene. Donald Trump is kind of the same way. In that when he talks about these topics, he thinks everybody else is stupid. He thinks everybody else is stupid. And so that nothing is real until he says it. That any facts that are out there, they were like locked away until Donald Trump could read them. And then he delivers them to the masses, treating all of us as if we're idiots. And I have to admit, in reading what he had to say about China and all of this, I kind of got the same feeling for some reason. It's like, did you know that China is a country in Asia? Did you know that China shares a border with North Korea? Yes, it's true. I'm here to tell you that. I'm just going to leave you on that note because I got to go. You can go to EdwardDensel.com. You can find the show Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 2 a.m. Eastern. Red State Talk Radio. Also on Podomatic and iTunes, my other show, Unfound Missing Persons Program. New episode coming out tomorrow. Hope you'll check it out. It's also on Podomatic and iTunes. Please follow me on Twitter either at USA Podcast or Unfound Podcast. I gotta go. You've been listening to America's Conservative Podcast.